This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano, Martin Kilcoyne, and H. Balzer in studio. Isaac Bruce was on the radio show a couple of days ago, and he told Martin that he would be interested in becoming a coach in the XFL. What do you think, H?
Well, I think that, you know, Mike Martz is a coach in the Alliance, which is starting. They're in training camp right now with their eight teams in San Antonio, and their season starts the week after the Super Bowl. And I spoke to Mike the other day. I was doing a story on the 99 team for USA Today Sports Weekly, and he said, yeah, this is a great thing. You know, I'm in San Diego. You know, it's a two-month deal, basically, for the season. Obviously, they have training camp now, and they've had some prep, but it's obviously not the intensity of what the NFL is going to be, especially the off-season and a constant. And so I think that's the way probably Isaac is looking at it. And there had been some talk about the Alliance coming here for this next season.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get dates in the Dome. Plus, the Dome didn't want to, or I'm sorry, the Alliance thought that what the Dome was asking for the rental was kind of crazy, and which isn't surprising. But and the XFL was willing to pay it, which isn't surprising for what the Dome charged Isaac and his foundation for that flag game. I mean, it was just crazy how much they charged them. But there had been some talk about Isaac being involved in a team in St. Louis coach.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the only way they would get people interested, if somebody like Isaac was there.
Well, Strickland was mad about it.
Yeah.
But Isaac said, I would be interested.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlie asked the question, and he could have easily said, nah, that doesn't sound like my. He said, yeah, why not? I'd be interested.
Right.
And they said, well, he should be an assistant in the NFL.
I heard, yeah.
He doesn't want to.
No, that's.
That's a year-round job.
It is, exactly. And not only year-round, but as I think Andy mentioned it, or did you, whoever I was listening, you know, you're there during the season. I mean, 6 a.m. till whatever time at night. And it's, I mean, the hours are just insane. And then there's obviously no security in it, depending. Yeah, you could be with a team 1 year, be brought in, and all of a sudden the team blows you out as the head coach if you had a bad year, and now you don't have a job. So I think there'll be a little less pressure in terms of that on these teams and in this league. It's a developmental league. I mean, a lot of the players are not going to be well known, certainly, but you know, it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Okay, on a Sunday, if you got five Sundays, if you had Isaac as a coach,
oh, yeah,
maybe James Franklin as a quarterback and Torrey,
yeah,
offensive coordinator.
Who knows? Yeah, no, I
that's
think
the only reason, like Isaac or Torrey would get involved. It's kind of something to do. It's fun,
yeah,
for a couple of months. It's
right.
Not, they don't need to work.
Yeah.
They would do it, St. Louis. They probably wouldn't do it if it was in Cleveland, but they have some affinity to the town. I think there's a chance. I know Strickland's laughing right now in his car, but Isaac's the one who said, yeah, sure, I might do that.
Yeah.
As Andy drives to watch 13-year-olds play hockey. You know. All right, so
I like how Frank, though, is taking it from Chase Daniel down to James Franklin. Oh. Brad Smith might be getting a call next week.
What about Farmer, Kirk Farmer?
Kirk Remember Farmer, maybe
great
Corby
Mike
Jones?
Martz line. Corby Jones, you're right. He's about 45.
And by the way, Martz's defensive coordinator? Larry Marmee.
Larry Marmee, yes.
The Alliance. No,
he's with him in the Alliance.
Drake,
yeah,
Bly's on his staff, I think.
I think he was, but now he's just got a job at North Carolina, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
There's another ex-Ram on there.
Well, is John Freeze the coordinator? Somebody like John Kitna might be the OC.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, Kitna is, yes.
That, you know, that's when you talk, we always talk about Mart's greatest show on turf, but to get Kitna to 4,000 passing yards back-to-back years, that's coaching.
Yeah. No, I mean, what
and
he
Mike
did.
Furry had
Mike
Furry.
I was just thinking,
yeah,
of Furry.
Yeah, oh,
in
my
Detroit.
Gosh.
I mean, yeah, he's
all right.
He could get it done.
H, you are one of the elite. How many are in the Hall of Fame actually
selectors?
Voting? Yes.
48.
48. Okay. So the class of 2019 modern era finalists. We all know that Champ Bailey is going to go in. We know that Tony Gonzalez is going to go in. We know that Ed Reed is going to go in. That's three. So two more for sure. It could be as many as eight. Is that correct?
Seven's the
well,
max.
No, five. It's only but two more. The whole
five's
class
the
can
minimum,
be eight.
Right?
Is Cordell?
No, five's the maximum. The other three are the contributors candidates.
Is that Cordell?
Is, no. He's within the 15.
Head, all right.
Coaches are included, which I think there should be separate for coaches. I think coaches should be in with contributors because it's hard to get coaches in. So Coryell and Tom Flores is in that final 15. The other three that can make an eight-person class is the seniors candidate, which is Johnny Robinson, the longtime safety with the Chiefs back in the AFL days. And the contributors are Gil Brandt and Pat Bolin, the owner of the Broncos.
They should those both go in.
Yeah, and I think they will. And those guys are voted in separately.
Okay,
and
so
they don't take a spot
15,
from...
only five can get in?
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
And that's what makes it so tough. It's different. Like you said, I agree with you on Gonzalez and Reed, but it seems that... maybe
Champ Bailey's got like 12
he promos? Does. I think Ty Law might have been every bit the corner that Champ Bailey was. And Ty is, I think this is his third year as a finalist. So, but the thing is, there seems to be a movement and some of the younger guys on the committee, this whole, because, and guys are fresher. These players are fresher in everyone's mind because they've been obviously out of the game the shortest because they're first time eligibles. And like last year, for example, you knew Ray Lewis was going to get in. You knew that, well, you didn't know about Randy Moss, but there was a good chance. I was a little surprised that Brian Urlacher got in his first year, but he did. Well, once that happens, like I said, there's only two spots from 12 other people. And I always say this about it. People don't realize how hard it is just to be a finalist. I mean, that's hard to advance this far and to what you've done in your career. And so, you know, you have to be two of that 12 is difficult. And Isaac... so far hasn't we have a reduction vote from 15 to 10 and then the 5, and Isaac has in his 2 years as a finalist has not made it to the 10 yet.
Any of these other guys made it to the 10?
Yes, in fact, the four offensive linemen that are here, and they probably split votes. There's four offensive linemen,
so Baselli,
Steve Hutchinson, Kevin Mawai, and Alan Faneca. And I think Baselli, if he had played a full 10-12 career, he'd have been in a decade ago. But all four of those guys made the first cut to 10 last year.
Okay.
But none of them moved on. And so that just shows probably the votes are split. Because the one thing you never know is when those reduction votes happen, how many votes did number 10 get and how many votes did number 11 get? We don't know. It could be
secret ballot when you're in that room. Do you guys, is it all on paper?
Yeah, it's all on paper.
Raising your hands and
no, it's all on paper and we hand it in, but they don't announce the numbers. And so, but I've been told it's like one or two votes a lot of times is the difference in the reductions. And Ty Law was in that 10, was in the 10 last year, was in the group of five that didn't advance and obviously get enshrined.
Right, so let's look at this. One of those offensive linemen goes in. That puts him at four.
Potentially.
And do you think that because Bailey's going in, Law, that's since they play the same spot, only one of those two will go
probably.
In? Probably. So that of the other list, who would get in ahead of Isaac if we're going with Steve Atwater, if we're going with Richard Seymour, Edgerrin James and Isaac Bruce.
Yeah,
so
out of that group, and there's also Coryell is in there, and so
it looks pretty good for him. No guarantee.
I think
it's better than 50-50? Now that you've talked like this, I'm wondering.
I think it's better than 50-50, but again, I can't predict what 47 other guys.
But I mean, you've got
the
three that will definitely go. One of those offensive linemen will go. That's four.
Well, maybe, but like I said, sometimes votes are split. And so if the votes are split, some guys vote for Faneca, some guys vote for Bissell, whatever it is, and then not one of them get enough votes to move on. That happens. Hey, it happened to receivers. There was that year, there was like 5 or 6 years where Tim Brown, Chris Carter, and Andre Reed were finalists, and none of them got elected because the vote was probably being split. And so there's a lot of really good candidates.
So what's your job is to get up there.
And John Lynch. John Lynch, for example. This is his sixth year as a finalist. So, man, it's just tough. Anyway, I'm sorry.
So, no, is it a PowerPoint? How does this play out? And do they grill you and say, hey, she only went to four Pro Bowl? I mean, how much back and forth is there?
Here's the way it basically goes is whoever is designated as the initial presenter for each of the candidates. You get 5 minutes to basically state your case. And they actually have a screen with a ticking clock that ticks down. And so you never realize how fast 5 minutes goes. Because last year, as I was doing it, I had all this stuff prepared. And all of a sudden, I look up and I'm saying, oh, my goodness, it's already 3.5 minutes. And I had a lot of stuff to do. And so I had to start eliminating stuff. And the one thing I didn't remember was that, well, so anyway, I'll tell you this in a moment. After you're done, then it just opens up to the floor, and people can make comments. And I will say there was a lot of positive things said about Isaac from others in the room. There can be some questions. Someone will say, well, you know, he didn't make an all-decade team. And that had been, that was said the year before, when Bernie made the presentation. And so I made sure to answer that in my presentation. Well, yeah, he didn't wasn't an all-decade team because if you took from 95 to 2004, his numbers were every bit as good as anybody else that was either on the 90s or the 2000 all-decade team. But he split two decades. So I answered that then. But there will be questions. It's always respectful. And then you never know how long the discussion will last. But I was told by several people after last year that especially I think getting Owens and Moss in last year was really important. Get them out of there and get them in. So I think that helps Isaac. And so, but they all said that they thought that I had brought up some really good points about them. And a lot of people said to me, they think this is, I shouldn't say a lot. Several have said, we think this, you know, I think this is his year. But again, there's 47 others that will determine it.
Could you see H up there? And this league is filled with greedy, deceitful, and the relocation like, hey, stay on top of it. This is about Isaac.
You know who worries me in this group? And it's weird. Tom Flores. Tom Flores has been.
He's the only guy with two Super Bowl wins not in, right?
I believe that's correct. He has been. This is his 24th year of eligibility. And he's never been a finalist. But there's been like, it seems that every year there's somebody that there's a push for whatever reason. And there's been a lot of public stuff, especially from Raiders fans. Oh, Tom Flores has two Super Bowls and blah, blah, blah. Oh, and he was a first Hispanic. Oh, and he was an assistant coach for all these years. And he was a player. Well, yeah, but he wasn't that good a player. And when he became a head coach of Seattle after the Raiders, he was 14-34 in three years with the Seahawks. But I think Jimmy Johnson is more deserving than him, and Jimmy Johnson has been a finalist a couple times, but hasn't been voted in. He was a semifinalist this year, but didn't advance, and Flores did. And I think Coryell deserves it more. Coryell's imprint is still on the game today with the offense. So, Martin, but that's the thing. You just never know how people are going to approach it.
Martin touched on the Isaac Bruce stat that is the one that's going to work against them just for Pro Bowls. I think Art Monk is the only wide receiver in the NFL in the NFL Hall of Fame with fewer Pro Bowls. I mean, are people that petty where they'll, after you have this beautiful dissertation about the greatness of Isaac, well, wait a minute, he only played four Pro Bowls. I mean, do they get that petty?
They don't say it, but you never know what's in someone's mind.
Yeah.
And, of course, the biggest ridiculousness was the 95 season when he led the league in yardage, I think had 117 receptions, and didn't make the Pro Bowl. But you know, he kind of took the league by storm that year.
Yeah.
The year before was his rookie year, and he only had 21 catches. So the Pro Bowl is so much on reputation that, to me, that shouldn't matter. What's the eye test? What's all that? But the one thing is, he has been a finalist now 3 years in a row. And you mentioned Edgerrin James. That's another guy that I think is going to get in at some point. He was a finalist about 3 years ago, I think, for a first time. And then the next year, he wasn't a finalist when LaDainian Tomlinson was a first-time eligible. Then Tomlinson got elected, and all of a sudden, Edgerrin James was back the next year as a finalist, and he is again this year. The thing that I was a little concerned with, quite honestly, last year was that with Randy Moss coming in as a first-time eligible, with the return once again of Terrell Owens, I was a little concerned that Isaac might not be a finalist because what I had seen with other guys. Well, when he was a finalist, that at least reinforced in my mind the respect that the committee has for him. So I don't think that the four Pro Bowls are going to keep him out. He is going to get in one of these years. Hopefully it's this year, obviously. But I can't say when it's going to be. I mean, Chris Carter, Tim Brown, those guys, they waited 6 years to get in. Sometimes it just happens that way.
And we sort of nerd out on this whole process, and I'm sure some people are like, oh, for God's sakes, the Hall of Fame. But it is interesting to me, you're still on the committee, even though the team left. Explain that to people.
Yeah, well, I was an at-large member of the committee. I was added on. I heard you guys talking earlier when you were when Jack Buck represented St. Louis, and then he left the committee. He also not only helped get Jackie Smith in the Hall of Fame. And then I was under consideration for the St. Louis representative, and Bernie Miklas got it. And so he had been there for many years and did Roger, and everyone has come up in the last few years. He did the presentation, and Orlando and Kurt and Aeneas Williams was kind of a two-prong one. Bernie spoke, and then Kent Summers from Arizona spoke about Aeneas. And then I would chime in once Bernie was done and talk about those guys. And then, so anyway, when the Rams left, there's a rule in the bylaws that says every geographical area has to be represented. And so they were trying to find someone from Los Angeles. And that would have meant Bernie potentially being bumped off, even though there were some suggesting, if he does, hey, make him an at-large guy. He's a great guy in the committee. And so anyway, they couldn't find anybody in L.A. Sam Farmer was the one they wanted to do it, but the L.A. Times has a rule within the sports department that none of their writers can vote on anything in any sport. They think it's a conflict
like
of interest.
Heisman,
anything. Yeah, MVP, Cy Young, of any sport, whatever it is, they can't vote. And so Bernie kept doing it, and he was there for, I think Orlando went in 2016, right? So the Rams were gone then. He did Kurt. He did Isaac's first year. And then last year, all of a sudden, he let the hall know that he couldn't be there. And I was told, I was asked to do Isaac like 3 days before leaving for the Super Bowl. And he kind of just didn't want to be involved anymore. And this year, he's not. And so now, I got moved. You're going to love this part. I got moved from at large, and I'm now listed as Los Angeles Rams.
Wow. Representing the Los Angeles.
So anyway, that's how
traitor age.
Yeah. Well,
wait. No, I'm just glad Sam Farmer's not on the committee because he would probably put Demoff and Kroenke on the ballot 1 year.
Yeah. Interesting. Tuna was in that chair. He works for the Rams, and now H is in that same chair, and he's representing the Rams.
Wow. Representing the Los Angeles Rams.
In terms of their players.
How about the game itself? I think Dallas is going to win.
Well, I think they have a shot.
But and you don't think so?
No. Hey, anything can happen in games. So, you know, look at the underdogs that won last week. And so anything can happen. I think the Cowboys match up very well with the Rams. Good defense. And you guys were talking earlier, we've seen some of these offensive juggernauts in the last month of the season be brought down to earth by some good defenses, whether it was New Orleans against Dallas, whether it was the Rams against the Bears, whatever it's been. And the Chiefs also haven't been the same team once Kareem Hunt left. And so I think the Cowboys match up very well with a really good defense and a front seven that's very fast. You have Todd Gurley coming back from injury. You don't know really how – is he going to be a little bit rusty? Then the flip side is the Rams, that defense, has not been good stopping the run. And that's the one thing the Cowboys can do, obviously, is run the ball with Ezekiel Elliott. So if they can control the ball on the ground, obviously don't turn it over, and keep the ball out of the Rams' hands, then I think the Cowboys have a chance of pulling off the upset. I definitely think so. Would I predict it? Maybe not, but I think they've got a heck of a chance of doing it.
And whoever advances there, I still think New Orleans is going to get it done at home.
I think so too.
They're such a dome team. They have been for years. Breeze at home. The fact that they can play two at home, I know that's easy to pick the favorite, but I like New Orleans. I don't see the Eagles beating them. Brandon Nick Foles seems to have some sort of magic going right now, but I would say the Saints at home against Cowboys, even though they lost to them in Dallas, or Rams, the rematch, I think the Saints are going to handle it.
I would agree with you. If the Eagles had health in their secondary and they've just been decimated there this season, because that's a pretty good defense too, and they can get after the quarterback, and they're pretty decent against the run. I mean, Fletcher Cox, he's not Aaron Donald, but he's as good as any other defensive tackle in the NFL. Their linebackers are pretty good. But they've had so many injuries in the secondary, you just look at it and say, Breeze should be able to do a lot against that secondary.
Can you imagine
and throwing it to Alvin Kamara, who's real good coming out of the backfield and can run the ball, obviously, very well, too.
Can you imagine, though, if Nick Foles pulls that off, and then the next week, let's just say he beats Dallas. I mean,
or whoever, yeah.
Do we help, you know, Carson Wentz pack his things out of Philadelphia?
I think they're already thinking that way.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has done it now a second. Just one game. He did have some picks in Chicago, but he appears to be back on his game, which we saw him at his absolute worst. Maybe he was the nicest guy, real religious. Maybe he was in on the tank job. Maybe we're overlooking the obvious here.
Well, of course,
Jeff Fisher does bring out the best in all quarterbacks.
Well, and the talent, of course, around him wasn't all the best. I remember the one game where he lit it up. Remember that wild game against Seattle?
Oh, that's right.
I think it was.
Yeah.
And I remember a touchdown pass. I'm trying to remember who it was. Might have been to Lance Kendricks when a defensive back fell down on the Seahawks. And that was a wild game. But then it obviously deteriorated after that. And, of course, there wasn't that the year they then went to Case Keenum at quarterback. But, yeah. But, yeah, he's on his game. The team has faith in him. He's playing confident. And they do a lot of things well. So I think they're going to give New Orleans a pretty good game. But it'll be tough to beat them. But even if they would lose this, I think the Eagles have to look at this situation. And I think Foles will, too, because he knows he's in a pretty good place there. And with Carson Wentz and the injury issues, his best decision might be to just go back to Philly. And I know Philly would love to keep him because...
But they couldn't, right?
Well, not at the money he's making now, but they'd renegotiate. And they could still afford it. The question is, what teams will be interested in Nick Foles? And he will look at that and analyze it and say, well, okay, this team's interested, but I don't know if that's the best place to be as a starter. And so who knows? He might decide that, hey, Philly's the best place for me. I'm not predicting it, but it wouldn't surprise me if it happened.
Who wins the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm sticking with New Orleans, as you're picking them to win this week. One of the main reasons is in the Lindy's magazine I put together, I predicted the Saints to win the Super Bowl.
So you got to stick with that.
You
did that in August?
May. That was in May. We put the magazine to bed in May. And so I picked it in May, and so I got to stick with it. I can't remember. I'm trying to remember if there's been even a time that I picked the right team to win the Super Bowl in May.
You got to ride that.
So I've got to ride it.
You
no question.
You think the Chiefs crap the bed again? I think they could beat the Colts.
I think they should. I don't know. We don't know, obviously, what the weather's going to be there tomorrow. Both teams will have to play in it.
Are they expecting
6-9? What I saw last night, I looked it up last night, in fact, because it's going to start earlier there. And apparently, when it starts, it's going to be rain because it's not as cold yet. And so they're only predicting 2-5. And it'll probably end earlier. So they'll probably have plenty of time to clear the field by 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. But. Who knows? I mean, the Colts are pretty good.
I'd like to see the Chiefs get over that because their fan base is just so paranoid at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see them win that game, and then I'll bet you anything they would lose the next week.
Did you see what our good friend Bob Fesco did the other day?
No.
He put a little video. Of course, there's the morning show at 6:10 there. He did a video with him and some cohorts standing outside Arrowhead Stadium. Guess what they were doing? Burning sage. They were.
Really?
Did you sue him for copyright?
No, because he credited me. He credited me in his video. It was pretty hilarious. And I called their station yesterday morning as a surprise guest, and Fesco, he didn't know I was calling in. And so I said to him, I just want to congratulate you. I saw a video on what you were doing outside Arrowhead, and I just want to salute you for the spiritual growth that you have shown. And he said, "Thank you, Mr. Balzer." And then we kind of talked about it in 99.
Was it medical sage? Is that now legal? This is the real deal.
Yeah,
now.
Sage has always been legal.
Good stuff. H, honored to have you in the studio. Thanks so much.
Always my pleasure, guys.
All right, Howard Balzer.
If Isaac doesn't get in, we'll give out Howard's home number, okay?
That's right. Absolutely. All right, before we go to break, a couple of business items. McBride Homes, Missouri's largest home builder, has a great deal for you during the New Year's sales event. Buy a new McBride home and for a limited time get 2018 pricing. That's right. This is your last chance at 2018 pricing. And McBride has nearly 100 market homes ready for a quick move-in, marked down with tremendous savings. With nearly 40 communities in St. Louis, there's a McBride home for every price point in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. Celebrate a fresh start with the new year in a new McBride home. Visit McBrideHome.com for details. And then Dr. Michael Jones can get those eyes fixed right away, 866-260-EYES. He's the best eye surgeon in the country. He can get it done in about 11 seconds. From routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery, he does it all. Board certified in ophthalmology, professor at SLU, practices on both sides of the river. Please tell them I sent you. He's one of the reasons we are on the air. 866-260-EYES. Martin, what do you have coming up in the coveted hour?
Oh, a lot of Blues breakdown. We're big Jordan Binnington fans. Charlie Marlowe is in the house. Also, Greg Warren, who is now he's sort of the Michael Wacha of snow. Every time he's in town for shows and coming into studio, we have a big snow threat. And he said, "You guys are killing me. I got shows. I want people to come out." Comedian Greg Warren in the house, Charlie Marlowe, Midday Grind, and then at 1, Strickland Show, Hockey Sense, because of some of the weather issues. That's actually going to be at 1 o'clock today. live at Schneider.
Can I say, too, that Greg Warren at the Musi Awards, all this, like, emotion, all these legendary sports figures, he absolutely stole the show, was the number one performer, but he was unbelievable. He's the greatest. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.